morning again. So be brief comments today, but just kind of relax after standing for so long and breathe in a little peace. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. And we read two chapters of the 16 chapters of the Gospel of Mark today. So an eighth of the Gospel of Mark. And I have often encouraged you to read the Gospel, and I will encourage you again today to read the Gospels. I said in my comments before we proclaim the Passion that the Gospel has the power to heal. The words of the Gospel have the power to heal. Read the Gospels. Let it wash over you. Place yourself in the midst of the Gospel. Imagine yourself as a character in the scenes of the Gospel. And today you would have seen this woman take 300 days' wages. How many work days are there in a year? Maybe 300? A year's labor? And that really symbolizes her life. And what does she do with this valuable, valuable thing? She pours it out on Jesus. And somebody there sees that. And what is their response? What a waste. What a waste. A wasted life poured out on Jesus. What is your response? Maybe one of your children wanted to join a religious community, go to the seminary. A lot of young men tell me their parents don't encourage them. What a waste. This precious thing she poured out, that could have been sold and given to the poor. Maybe that was Judas, because Judas certainly spoke up later. He was disappointed that that was poured out because, not because he wanted to sell it and give it to the poor. Judas, one of the apostles, we would say a bishop today. Judas had his hand in the money bag. This is a great mystery. Jesus would have chosen him, but he did. And there is Judas complaining about the waste of money. What a waste. I wonder if anybody would walk into this building and look around and say, what a waste. You can go into the cathedrals in Europe and see these grand, grand buildings. And there are people who go in them and say, what a waste. SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California, $5 billion for a football stadium. I wonder if anybody wrote any articles about what a waste. And so we have this alabaster jar poured out on Jesus. And Jesus said he appreciated it, essentially. We're called to pour out our life, even when the world doesn't understand. In the Gospel, Judas is painted in a kind of unfortunate way. Jesus says today, it would be better for that man if he had never been born. Did you hear that in the Gospel? I struggle with that line a lot. I always think about life being a gift, a precious gift. And then I hear Jesus say it would be better if he had never been born. And I struggle with how does it all add up? But you know, as precious as the gift of life is, we can squander this gift. We can reach our hand in the money bag that God has given to us and not give any to God, but pour it all out on ourselves and squander the very gift that God has given to us on nothingness. And so Judas eventually found Jesus disgusting. So disgusting that he would sell him. And so he sold him. And how did he betray him? This is one of those things, this is one of those moments in the gospel that always gets me. There's Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's his closest apostles who are sleeping, who can't keep their eyes open. Jesus is sweating blood. And there's one who ran off. And now he's come back. Hey, he's come back. He walks over to Jesus. He tells the soldiers what the signal is. Walks right up to him, as if Jesus doesn't know. And kisses him. This act of affection and kindness. You know, you think about all of the apostles and Judas being, in, if you will, one. But Jesus says, they will strike the shepherd and they will all be dispersed. You will all fail me. Not me, Peter says, not me. Maybe you're thinking to yourself right now, not me. And then we have this curious story that happened in the gospel there when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and this Judas betrays him, and then there's a little sword fight, and then there's a young man clothed in nothing but a linen garment, one single linen garment. And I read a commentary about that one single linen garment, and there was a community called the Essenes that would have been what they wore. And they would wear one linen garment until it literally became rags, and then they would change it out for a new one. It was kind of a austere community, and that they suspected that maybe this guy was a member of that community, and he may have been. But there's a deeper meaning to this young man who was there with Jesus, and then things got difficult. You know what? Following Jesus, sometimes things are going to be difficult. Sometimes the world is going to want to say, do this, and Jesus is going to say, do that. And what do? And in this case, the young man, it became difficult to stand with Jesus, and what did he do? He ran off, and the garment that he had on fell off. What garment did he have on? That white single linen garment. It's described in another place as the baptismal garment. You know what you get when you get baptized? When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what did they become aware of? That they had been clothed in grace. And then they sinned against God and they were naked. And here's this young man clothed in one white garment. And I promise you, we're supposed to think baptismal garment. And things get difficult. And he runs off. And what falls off of him? And he's naked again. We pray today that when things get difficult, we don't kiss Jesus and pretend to be with him, but really running away. And things are going to get difficult. They all abandoned him. Peter, when he became aware of the fact that he had turned his back on Jesus, that he denied him three times, it says that he wept. And we know the story, right? We know that he wept and that he was disgusted with himself, and that eventually Jesus caught up with him and gave him an opportunity three times to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then Jesus told Peter he would lay down his life for him. So we know this story very well, don't we? You know, the gospel has power. We read this story. We put ourselves in this story. It has the power to heal us. It has the power to convict us. It has the power to transform us. We can see ourselves in beauty and ugliness in the gospel. But at the end of the gospel, at the end of it all, I want you to remember that you were created by God for a relationship with God. That Jesus came to die on the cross, not to condemn you, but that his blood would flow from his side as a saving, healing bath. Today, let the power of the passion wash over you as a call to repent, to be healed, to be cleansed. I sincerely pray that you have a truly holy week, and that you will arrive back here next Sunday renewed and strengthened in your commitment to follow Jesus Christ in good times and in bad.